like in terms of goals in certain amount of games or whatever, Matthews is beating Ovechkin at almost every single checkpoint.
Yeah.
So like to say Matthews goes down as the greatest goal scorer of all time wouldn't be a surprise to me at the pace this guy's going.
Absolutely not. And I know on Saturday we talked about it, about him scoring a goal. He scores at least 0.85 goals a game.
Yeah.
It's now up to 0.92 goals a game.
Like that's just absurd.
It like he is how the Maple Leafs will win anything, because if they don't do anything for a goalie, it's just going to be the 2012 New Orleans Saints. If defense or nothing will stop you, we'll just try and outscore you. Our
100%.
Games will be 50-49, and yeah, we only win because we go for two at the end.
Yeah, Leafs are winning six games like 6-4, 5-4. It is episode 212 of Left Side Heavy, the podcast. If you'd like to support the show, be sure to follow through the link in the description or just head to leftsideheavy_ on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. It's your boys, Jevin and Hayden. This is going to be a quick episode today because the boys have places to be on this family day today. But, Hayde, how's it going, boss? How we doing?
Well, it was supposed to be a good family day, but sports have ruined it.
Yeah, we're recording after the Canucks game.
As per usual, the Canucks game on Monday. So by the time this comes out, maybe we do a preview for the Avs. But I feel like we both know where that game would be heading. And, you know, I'd say, well, we'll get into it, but no, this was going to be a good family day, and now it's just tainted. So yeah, I'm not having the best family day, man. But what about you?
Everything's about this. I'm not going to sound like a broken record, but pretty much the exact same thing. I went downstairs in the intermission to my room to like do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe take like a 5-minute nap. And then I came back upstairs.
Yeah.
I knew the period ended 5-2 or 5-3. I knew it ended 5-3. Come back up. I see, 18 minutes. So two minutes into the third, like there's 18 minutes left. And I see that 6-5. And Kelsa, Tanner, and my mom are playing a game.
Yeah.
And I get up the stairs. I'm like, what the fuck happened here? And Tanner's like, I know, it's ridiculous. I'm like, it was 5-3, right? And they're like, yeah, they scored three goals already in the period. And then they scored two more in 2 minutes after that. And I'm just like, this is like so ridiculous. Like, what is happening?
Your head in.
Yeah. I was like losing my mind because the goals they were scoring were unlucky.
Muffins.
As well as like DeSmith was pissing me off, but also some of the goals were just like,
he can't do anything.
Like that could have gone in on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But also it was like, you should have had it at the same time.
Yeah.
But like that game just was so many directions, and it just like, it ruined my day. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, my mom was super pissed off at us losing 4-0 to Boston. And I was watching it and I was like, yeah, but like, at least it's Boston. Like,
yeah, it's not team.
Like, I was watching the Boston game and I'm like, we had our chances and we look like we are in the game. And they just like kind of got in too deep of a hole too early, kind of thing,
yeah,
you know? Where this game, this game is probably going to go down as my most frustrating game of the year already, and the season's not over yet, but I already know that this is, because there are so many different ways we could have escaped this humiliation.
Yeah.
Like, I never want to see us let in 10, even though two of them were empty netters. But it's just so many things went against us that game, and it just went downhill way too quick.
Yeah, it did.
And it's just now all of a sudden we're chasing.
Gasoline was poured on the fire, an open flame, and it just did not stop.
Yeah, it's just, I can probably talk about this game for the entire episode, but I don't want to do that. It's just like so much of it pissed me off.
So frustrating.
Yeah, so yeah, it's safe to say that it ruined my day.
Yeah.
I can confidently say that. Like, it's gonna need a lot to bring me back from the dead here.
Agreed.
So, but other than that, the rest of my week was fine.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I can confidently say that my rest of my week was also fairly decent. And now leading into another great week of work, short week. So at least for us 9-to-5ers.
Yeah. Not for me.
not for you, but yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
I bet. Yeah. Yeah, I bet. this is the time where I'm missing the old 9-to-5s, because
oh yeah,
you're when
guaranteed 4-day work week.
Yeah, your hump day is Thursday, and then the next day it's basically the weekend, and it's just
it's just gonna be so nice.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the days I miss 100%. But
indeed,
yeah.
Anyways,
we have a short episode this week, so why don't you throw us a question of the week there, boss? Because
question
I don't have
of the week. So in the last week and a bit, I've been getting into Grand Theft Auto 5 a lot more.
Yeah.
Have not picked up a game in, I don't know, a couple years, I want to say. And I saw it on PC, on Steam, for a price of $15. And I'm like, am I really going to get Grand Theft Auto 5? And it's still actually $15, which is the insane part of this.
Like, they're still charging it.
They're still charging it, yeah. So, like, this sale is just absolutely humongous. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get it. So I got it, and I am not disappointed with it at all. It is so fun to play. And immediately, all the boys have gotten it, and at least the ones that have, like, pretty good PCs. So, like, what's a game that you could go back to, either single player or multiplayer, and just be like, this is fucking awesome. I love this game. Because Grand Theft Auto 5 for the PC is just, it's so fun.
I think any of the, like, Lego Star Wars games.
Oh.
Like, those were massive, like, when I would go over to your house when we were, like, 12 or 13 and playing those games, like, even younger.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In the early middle school days. So, like, when we were, like, 10, maybe.
Yep.
We'd always rip Lego Star Wars on, like, your Wii or GameCube or something like that. And it was it was a time and a half. And I was I always look through Game Pass on my Xbox to see any free games that look kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And I saw Lego Star Wars, and I'm like,
ooh,
download. And it follows, like, the New Hope story.
Yeah.
And it, like, obviously goes in order. And so I played that, and I'm like, yeah, this is
nostalgic. Yeah. I have the new, like, Saga.
Yeah.
I bought that 2 years ago. I haven't played as much as I want to play it, but it's, like, so much more in depth. And it's not like the 3D, but, like, two-dimensional camera. It's like four D.
Okay.
So it's almost like a third person game.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so hard to play with yourself.
Yeah.
But it's a cool game. Like, let's see. How much is the Lego Star Wars going for right now?
I want to say probably like $40, maybe.
$60.
$60.
Yeah. The original on Steam is going for $26, which is not bad at all.
No.
But like any Lego games are just so fun.
Yeah. Was it Lego Star Wars that I deleted your progress on?
Yeah.
That was a tough day.
That was a tough day, but it was also, looking back on it, it's like one of the funniest things.
Yeah, I think I was told to like either like get off the game or like I was gonna go play like pool in your garage or something like that with everyone else. So I pressed B or something like that and then just like exited the game.
Yeah.
Like I think that was it.
Or like
or you, I went you to start a new one.
Start a new one, yeah. And you replaced a copy,
yeah,
of one of the files. The one that I had, because there was only enough for three save games on that. And yeah, for context for everybody, so Jeb wanted to start a new one, which I mean, fair enough. You've always kind of been like the guy to be independent with video games and start a whole new succession.
Yeah,
you don't want to just dick ride. I mean, I give you props for that, but also you had no idea where you were going to.
Yeah, because I didn't
a new file.
Because I didn't have really like my own console at that point. Like, I don't even know if I had a Wii, like my own, like at home. So I didn't really exactly know what the fuck I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like kind of followed. I tried to use my common sense to like follow prompts like, oh, yeah, continue. OK, yeah, start a new one. Okay, yeah, sure. Like I think this is fine. And then it turns out it
next thing you know, he's was overriding. The complete
opposite. And when I tell you I cried and I felt like the worst human on earth, like that would be an understatement. Like I felt so bad. Cause you were obviously really pissed and upset. And yeah, like your mom consoled me for like 2 hours. It was insane.
Yeah, it was a time and a half to be around at that house. And then after, you know, a couple hours, I cooled off obviously and realized that there's more to life with it. But it made for a great summer to re-grind the game and get 100% and have all the characters re-unlocked. Like it was better than before because now it just made it a lot more close to start over.
But also, like, if you had to choose, you wouldn't have restarted.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think anyone would, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, what would you rather do? Would you rather lose all of your money in real life and start over completely from the grind because, you know, one of your friends had an oopsie? Or would you rather stay where you are?
Yeah.
I know it's life or death situation there. But, no, yeah, so good question. Good question.
That was a good question. I fuck with that. Just writing down a few more things.
Oh. Yeah.
But let's get into the episode here. Don't really have a lot of football to talk about that I know of. Just a few kind of notes, and like we can kind of touch on the bigger news as we get closer to the draft and shit. But
and free agency.
Yeah, exactly. The Vancouver Canucks, so we'll just like go into the NHL. Vancouver Canucks went 2-2 on the week. They play tomorrow in Colorado, which we won't be able to exactly recap. But 4-2 win over Chicago, 4-1 win over Detroit, a 4-2 loss over Winnipeg, which was a good game and then went downhill quick. And then just the worst loss of the season so far versus Minnesota, in my opinion.
Yep. But
I think the biggest thing I've noticed over this span is that our effort has looked inconsistent, and our power play is just extremely messy. We kind of touched on the power play last episode, where we were, I think we're 1-4-25 in like the last X amount of games. 1-for-25. We were 0-for-22, and I think we went 1-for-3 today. So the power play is just absolutely, it's terrible. It seems that, like, if our power play was like an NHL be a pro character, it would have the stick handling of -100.
A newborn, basically.
Like, it just seems like whenever we go on the power play, everyone on the power play forgets how to stick handle besides Quinn Hughes. It's just like, it's insane. We can't handle pucks correctly. We overthink everything. We have trouble entering the zone. Like, it's just extremely fucking frustrating. And I got caught yelling at the TV in front of like Kelsey Tanner and my parents, calling the Canucks a lot of things. And my dad just started bursting out laughing. And I was just so mad. I was heated because it was just so embarrassing to watch. And we were winning at the time, but I was still just like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, this is terrible.
Yep.
You guys have a man up, and the defenders aren't even doing anything, and they're intercepting passes. Like, you guys are just acting like idiots. But that's the main thing I caught from the stretch, is just inconsistent effort and terrible power play.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed throughout this whole season is we'll win periods 1 and 3, but periods, generally the second period, we fucking suck. We will let the teams get back into the game with no sort of repercussion, no sort of like, at least we'll make it play for it. Other than that Winnipeg game, when it's like we were the ones that needed to have a second period and we did. But it's like, over this last stretch of games since the All-Star break, something is completely off. And, you know, I know we even kind of talked about it on Saturday, or at least I was making a point of this, where it was like, I like Lindholm. I'll stand by it. I don't like how often and early he's being progressed into this offense. I feel like it's just everyone is saying, it's Lindholm. It's Lindholm. And it's like, no, man, just ease him into it. Let him gel. And I get you want to do it early, but man, it looks so bad at the start of the season. And now people are asking questions like, can we actually win the Pacific looking like this? Because I'll tell you right now, these last two games, I wouldn't even say we'd make playoffs if I knew the record. And I just, it's going to be so hard to come back from this loss tomorrow and feel confident going up against Colorado.
Yeah, because it was it was known going into the All-Star break that we had, I think, the fifth hardest schedule, second half schedule. Like, it's really tough. It's not gravy whatsoever. I disagree with the Lindholm thing, because I just don't know how, like, you can shuffle him around without throwing him into the top six right away. Like, you're not going to throw him on the fourth line, and you're not going to damage that third line.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. But, like,
is what you're saying. Like, you're saying into the offense.
Power play and penalty kill when it's like,
well, he's a great penalty killer. He's known for that. And the power play, you're not going to throw anyone else there. Maybe Pew Suter, but like, he wasn't really doing anything. I think for Lindholm, he's a great face-off guy. And it wasn't like he was doing anything crazy. He was just like kind of standing in front of the net, and he made impacts early. So I kind of disagreed that.
Fact or fiction, though, our power play with Lindholm has been way worse than it has been at the start of the year without him.
I don't think that's on him, though.
No, but I'm just saying, like, are we trying to kind of center ourselves around him? Because I notice now he's taking more faceoffs than Miller. And it's like,
he's great on faceoffs.
But Miller is also great on faceoffs.
Like, Lindholm has the third most faceoff wins this season in the entire NHL.
Everything just seems like it should be the right answer, Jeff, but like, it's not. How are we not improving with this? How are we getting worse when we're getting better?
Like, I think it's just coincidence, in my opinion.
Something needs to change, bottom line.
Because I don't think he's made us worse.
Not him specifically, no. Just this period of time has been worse with him. And I do agree, it is a lot of coincidence. But then it's like, okay, now what is it? Is it coaching now? Is it purely just like our power play and what we want to do with it? Like, do we need to change? I heard Shorthouse or someone talking about how we wanted to revolutionize our power play to be like Tampa and have everyone shifting so that you didn't know when the shot was coming from and what the play was going to be. But it's like, that hasn't been our MO this whole year. Why are we going to switch it up halfway through the year because we have another player with a Lindholm's caliber? That just doesn't make sense to me. Why are we trying to do, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? Like that, I like that motto. That I feel like that's a good motto to live by. And it's,
I don't know. I don't think Vancouver's power play has solely been just standing there. I think we've been moving a lot more than we have been last year. Like this year, we've had a lot more movement on the power play. It hasn't been Tampa's level, but it has.
Mm-hmm.
We have been moving, which is, I think, resulted in a lot of positives. I just think we went through dry spells earlier in the year. We went through dry spells last year. We're going through a dry spell again this year. And it just seems, I honestly think a big reason why our power play has been shit has been Pettersson.
Yeah.
He keeps fucking turning it over at the blue line and they keep throwing it down. And that's what I'm saying is, like, it's not like we're centering it around Lindholm. It's not like he's the reason why our power play has been shit. It's just a matter of everyone doesn't. It seems like you still have to outwork the penalty killers because they're going to outwork you to kill the penalty. So if you don't give a shit on the power play, then you're not going to, it's not going to show results. And it just seems like our effort is at its all time low when we're on the power play, which results in losing puck battles and not being able to get set up. So I think it's just a matter of, instead of trying to be fancy at the blue line, try literally carry in the puck solo. And then once you get the puck down low, throw back to the point and then we can get set up. It seems like we try to get set up as soon as we cross the blue line and we try to get set up at the top of the blue line, but then they just pick it off and ice it right away.
Yeah, no, like you're absolutely right.
Like, that's the biggest frustration I have with this Canucks power play, is that when that thing doesn't work, JT Miller just decides to take the puck, rush in, get past the last defender, go to the circle, button hook, pass it back to Hughes, and then whoa, look at that, we're set up. It's like, why don't you guys just fucking do that every time?
Yeah,
it's like you guys try and do this drop pass back and forth at the red line and try and do this drop pass at the blue line where there's fucking three defenders there, because they know you're going to do that every time. Yeah. How about you just break through those three defenders and then
the only get set team... up?
Like, we do that every single time and it's never failed us from what I've seen. Why don't you just start doing that now as your main thing? And then if that gets stuck, then they'll start, their gaps will get worse because they're expecting you to drive in solo. And then that's where you can drop it back and get set. You got to switch it up every time. It's so fucking frustrating. And it's mainly the Canucks power play I see do that. Maybe not the drop pass because a lot of teams do, but we always seem to do that drop pass right at the blue line where there's defenders there, where other teams carry the puck in and then set up down low. And it's like, I've never seen other teams have trouble setting up besides Vancouver as much as they do. It's just, it's beyond frustrating and it pisses me off.
Sorry, I didn't mean to try and interrupt you there. I always just thought like to kind of piggyback off you, but the only team I've seen like actually be able to do that is Edmonton. Edmonton, but that's purely because they have Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid who are skilled enough to carry the puck in at the blue line and draw players away from the blue line to immediately pass it to someone like Evan Bouchard, like just put it right on his stick without Bouchard having to do anything. But that's only because of that person's caliber. I feel like the only one that could do that for Vancouver is Quinn, because he has stick handling like no one's business.
Yeah, it's
and he has speed like McDavid. He doesn't have, you know, the power or I'd say the passing ability like McDavid and Draisaitl, but he's the only one I feel like I would trust to carry the puck in over and leave it off. But then it's like, how does he get back to the blue line to work his magic?
Yeah,
like absolutely, you're 110% correct. Take it in by yourself with a big steam of force, drive to the corner, button hook, pass back. 9 times out of 10, it's going to work, because if it doesn't work for 3 times in a row, there goes your whole minute and 10 seconds of your power play one out there.
Yeah.
And then you get power play two in there and you're like, why is this power play unit on? And you're like, oh, right, we're actually a minute and a half into this and we're just getting set up.
Yeah. It's like, because whenever power play two comes on, they have a way different game plan than power play one. And it seems like they always get set up way before we do, especially 100%. In this drought that we're on. So it's just like, why don't you just fucking tail what they're doing? Because it seems to be working. And I don't know. I just feel like right now on power play one, you got like, I think JT Miller and Pettersson are just like overthinking everything, and it's resulting in mishandling the puck, making stupid passes, and just turning the puck over. And it's resulting in little to no time in the offensive zone, not being able to enter the blue line, not being able to get set up. And then next thing you know, power play two comes on. We get one shot from them because they have 20 seconds of power play time, but it was more power play time than we had ever gotten that power play alone. It's just like, yeah, it's super frustrating right now. And
one positive thing to take away from this, though, is power play two and our depth right now is very, very good.
Yeah.
I have been so impressed. If we're only going to talk about negatives, we got to bring out some positives and say, like, some of these power play two units and some of these, you know, back six center or back six forwards and back four defenders have really been putting in work.
One guy I've changed my tune on a bit.
Same guy right now.
Yeah, no, Juleson. He's turned his season around a lot.
Absolutely.
I was saying that he has no place in this league earlier in the year. And like, I was super confident on that. But he's really turned it around. I think he's bought into Tocchet's system. And I mean, he had a few costly hiccups against Winnipeg. But he also scored against Winnipeg. Got his first goal as a Canuck, and he's also just looked a lot more dialed in defensively. He's been physical and just like disciplined. He's still prone to muffins up the middle, pizzas up the middle, just like a lot of turnovers, but he's looked like more sound defensively the past 20 games. So it's something I'm a bit more impressed with, which I think is, I meant to bring up last episode, but I forgot to, but
glad to bring it up now.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a rough past couple games for him, but he's gotten better. His bad hasn't become as frequent.
Yeah, I agree.
One more thing about the Canucks here. Phil Kessel, he looks severely out of shape in Abbotsford, which I think was expected. He was already not really in shape, and he's taken the full season off, basically. So I wasn't really expecting anything there, but I think they're going to take a look at him more than just one ice time and a few ice times. Like, I think it might be about a few weeks of conditioning and stuff before they make a decision.
Yeah, it has to be.
But I think they wanted to kind of see where he was at. I still wouldn't be surprised if they offer him like a league min contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it might be worth it to go look in the deadline for like a top six winger. Because I don't know if Kessel's that level anymore. Excuse me. But yeah. So we'll kind of see what comes from that. All right. Some news around the league. Penguins honor Jágr's jersey retirement in amazing fashion. I don't know if he caught this, but they wore the retro Pittsburgh jerseys with the Pittsburgh diagonal.
Well, yeah.
And they wore Jágr mullets, mullet wigs. Everyone on the team did, including Crosby. It was really cool. And Jágr took warm-ups with them, too. So he put on the jersey, took warm-ups with Pittsburgh. And I'm like, why don't they just sign him? How electric would that be?
That would be fucking hilarious.
I mean, like, their power play is kind of lacking. They could use him. But but yeah, so Jágr took warm-ups, and for the jersey retirement, it was pretty wicked. So I'll see that. The New York Islanders are to host the 2026 All-Star Weekend at UBS Arena. Obviously, no All-Star Weekend 2025 because of the Four Nations face-off happening instead. And the Columbus Blue Jackets are to host the Detroit Red Wings in a 2025 Stadium Series game. Pretty interesting. It'll probably be at Buckeyes Stadium, I think. And then
That would be so electric.
Yeah. I think it'll be at the Buckeyes.
Columbus to Cleveland.
4 hours, I think.
Okay.
Or 2 hours. Fair enough. I actually kind of know that off the top because when I went to go visit my uncle, he lives just outside of downtown Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove to a Blue Jackets game.
Yeah.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I think from like Akron to Columbus. Cleveland to Columbus, 2 hours and 10 minutes. So I was almost on the money.
Almost.
The Philadelphia Flyers named Sean Couturier as their 20th captain in team history. I think that's a really good choice. I mean, Couturier has been with the team for as long as I can remember, and he's as solid as they get. Solid two-way centerman. And I'm pretty sure he won the Selke a few years ago, or he's been nominated a handful of times. But, I mean, yeah, he is as dialed as it gets, and it kind of seems like he's going to be with the team for a little while. So, yeah, I think great choice there.
Absolutely.
The IIHF upholds their ban on Russia and Belarus from international play for 2024-2025. So I guess they won't be in the Four Nations. I guess they weren't anyway, because
they weren't announced. Yeah.
I was thinking about Olympics, but I guess I think if they wanted to make a decision on the Olympics right now, they would have come out and said 2024, 2026. So like, I think there's still a chance that they plan the Olympics because I want to see them there. I want to see them there because best on best, I feel like it's hard to have without Russia.
Absolutely. They're one of the biggest nations for hockey itself.
Yeah.
Not having Russia there is easily top three. It's America, Canada, and Russia. That's the biggest. That's the biggest big three, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, and I know like politics are a huge thing, but for entertainment purposes, I want to see Russia back in the Olympics to see the hockey in it at its best. But
yeah, come on, Putin, be nice.
Yeah, come on,
play fair, buddy.
Be game.
Come on, be game.
So, yeah, but I can understand them upholding the ban, but I hope things get better for them to have reason to drop it. Where can we go here now? The Columbus Blue Jackets part ways with general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen. He's made some questionable decisions in the past few years, you know, giving Johnny Hockey that fat contract, but who knew that he would go silent?
Just fall off like
nothing. Yeah, who knew that Patrick Laine would, you know, kind of struggle and like go into the player assistance program and kind of produce not to his expectations. So he made a lot of risks with little to no reward. So I kind of understand needing a clean slate from the franchise overall. So he was kind of going off his rocker a little bit when things weren't going right. So I understand them, you know, going a different direction. Austin Matthews, let's talk about this guy for a little bit. He's going absolutely sicko mode right now. Today against, what was it, Buffalo, I believe?
Yep. No, St. Louis.
St. Louis, sorry. Scored his 49th goal of the season, and that was his 53rd game of the season. So he's 49 goals in 53 games. He is just going absolutely crazy, and I saw a lot of comments that I can't agree with more. That if he was in any other jersey, like if he was in wasn't in a Leafs or Rangers jersey, he would get so much more love than what he gets right now. People only hate on him because he's in a Leafs jersey, which I couldn't agree with more. I would be cheering for this guy so much if he wasn't in a Leaf jersey, but I can't do anything but respect this guy because he'll be the first person
to beat Ovechkin and Gretzky.
I mean, like, if you want to talk about Mahomes being on pace to beat Gretzky beat Brady as the GOAT, you can't deny that this guy is beating every checkpoint, like in terms of goals in certain amount of games or whatever. Matthews is beating Ovechkin at almost every single checkpoint.
Yeah.
So, like, to say Matthews goes down as the greatest goal scorer of all time wouldn't be a surprise to me at the pace this guy's going.
Absolutely not. And I know on Saturday we talked about it, about him scoring a goal. He scores at least 0.85 goals a game.
Yeah.
It's now up to 0.92 goals a game.
Like, that's just absurd.
It, like, he is how the Maple Leafs will win anything, because if they don't do anything for a goalie, it's just going to be the 2012 New Orleans Saints. If defense or nothing will stop you, we'll just try and outscore you.
Our 100%
will be 50-49, and yeah, we only win because we go for two at the end.
Yeah, Leafs are winning six games like 6-4, 5-4.
Yeah,
like defense, yeah, and goaltending are non-existent in those games. But
no, not at
do
all.
Do you think if he hits 70 goals and Toronto makes playoffs, he wins the Hart?
Has to. How do you not give it to someone who eclipses that sort of milestone in a year?
Because I think he's on pace for 75 right now.
Yeah, he is. He is on pace for 75. And it's just like, what, 29 more games? And all he needs is 20 more goals? So, that's
fucked, dude. Like, when you actually break it down like that, it's like
unreal.
It's, you know how like it got so absurd that Christian McCaffrey was minus odds for two touchdowns in a game?
Yeah, it's like minus,
like it's probably minus odds Eclipse 75. It's more so to get plus odds, it has to go to like 80, 85.
Imagine betting at the start of the season, there'd be a 70 goal scorer. You'd only put two people in the category.
Maybe three. Pastrnak.
For sure, two. And Matthews would be the favorite, I'd say, in my opinion.
Matthews, McDavid, and Pastrnak. Yes. Yeah. They're just probably three of the best goal scorers in the game right now.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I hate the attention that it gets as a, you know, Canucks fan. I hate Toronto because of the media and shit. But I have nothing against any of the players on Toronto, to be completely honest. And I mean, nothing but respect for Matthews because this guy's a fucking animal.
Absolutely.
Animal. Staying in Canada, I want to talk about this guy because people were really, really, really quick to call him a bust. But Juraj Slafkovský is absolutely tearing it up right now. He has 12 points in his 8-game point streak, and he has 13 points in his last 10. He's just simply, he's silencing a lot of media members and a lot of fans right now. People are quickly switching their tune on him. Because, like I said, they were quick to call him a bust and not ready when he was legit playing in the NHL at 18 years old. You know, it's like, it's absurd. Like, Jack Hughes looked terrible his first 2 years in the league. And now he's, what, maybe a top three player to some people, top five, easily top 10.
Yep.
Slafkovský, I don't know if he'll get to that point that quick, but. If you look at him play, he has a wicked shot. He's severely creative right now, and he's bringing life and excitement to this Montreal Canadiens team that isn't high in the standings.
No, absolutely, man. I just starting to watch hockey from last year coming into this year and knowing the type of situation that Slafkovský was in. And we can relate this so well to so many different players in football, in any sport. There's a big possibility that a generational talent or, you know, someone who is prophesized to be a next great player, whether that be, you know, great as in Gretzky or great as in, you know, we'll just like, who even could you consider like a great right now that's only been playing for a couple years, just somewhere in that level. If they're prophesized to be like that, give them more than one fucking year.
Yeah.
Like, don't be so quick to jump on the bust or can't play in the pros sort of fucking talk because, man, that shit is so weak. It is the worst thing to ever say. And I get it if you're saying it as a joke, the same way I say like Bryce Young is a bust. He's probably not going to be a bust. The Panthers just fucking suck. They have no identity whatsoever. And I bet you next year, like Bryce Young shows major improvements from year one to year two.
And it's your responsibility as a division rival to severely chirp your...
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, it makes sense. But for like other people who hate on him, come on, just give it a year. Give him a year.
Yeah, that's my biggest pet peeve, and you know that because I constantly harp on it, is people so quick to give players a label, whether that's best in the league or a bust. Give them till their rookie contract's done and then kind of reassess how they do. But even that, a player can still be effective if he doesn't live up to his potential. Like, Lafreniere hasn't lived up to his number one overall status. It's been a few years. You can maybe call him a little bit of a bust, but to say he isn't impactful for the Rangers would be stubborn and arrogant. Like, he's an effective player, but he just might not have lived up to that number one overall status, at least quite yet.
Exactly. Like,
he's still an effective player. Like, players can be both. Like,
they don't have to just be pure goal scorers.
Yeah.
As long as they're making plays for their team and putting them in positions to win, whether whatever line they're on, they're an effective player.
Yeah.
Like, just because he's a number one overall pick doesn't mean he's going to be a number one overall talent.
And, like, obviously that's what you're hoping for, picking him first overall.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I think there's just, like, there's different kind of levels and tiers to when to call a player a bust. And, yeah, I don't know. But I'm happy to see Slafkovský playing at the level he is right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Another player playing very well right now, Patrick Kane. It seems that hip resurfacing surgery has treated him well when sometimes it doesn't treat other players well. He has 7 points in his last 5 games since coming back from injury. I believe he had an arm injury. But right now, it seems to be a great signing for Detroit, and Kane seems to be, you know, resurrecting his past few years because he was dealing with that hip injury the past couple of years, and he said that I couldn't stop, turn on a dime, and even skate at an NHL level with how bad his hip was, and now it seems like it's showing because he's just producing at an elite level again.
Absolutely. Definitely a congratulations for a successful hip surgery. People don't imagine, or people don't know, and even me, like, I don't know anything about any sort of major surgery. I couldn't imagine coming back from, like, a broken arm, let alone something that immobilizes me.
Yeah, exactly.
And for someone to go through anything along those lines, round of applause.
100%. It's
round of applause.
Yeah, it's quite insane when you kind of really break down different severities of surgeries and stuff.
It really is.
It's like, how do you even come back from that? Like, how is that even possible?
How are you living?
Exactly.
It's like when Duncan at the Super Bowl party, after, like, hits that, like, you'd see, he's like, I'm just dead.
Yeah, like, there's
I'm
no
not alive.
There's no coming back from that. It's, no. There's just no coming back. There's two 9-2 games the other night. Florida beat Tampa 9-2, and Toronto beat Anaheim 9-2, where Austin Matthews got his 6th hat trick of the season. But pretty absurd scoring. Kachuk had 4 points. Verhaeghe had what, 4 or 5 points?
4 points. He had 3. He had 2 goals and an assist.
Like, Florida is a team that is
first in the Atlantic.
Second in the Atlantic.
Oh, they were first when they won.
They're right? 1 point behind Boston. Just checking right now. They're 1 point behind Boston with a game in hand. So that's probably it. But more wins, but has 7 more overtime losses. So
and 3 less regulation. Yeah.
But yeah,
goals against.
Like, Florida's just looking absolutely lethal right now. Dallas has really turned it around these past few games. The Jets as well. When their team is on, Vilardi, Connor, Scheifele,
oh
Hellebuck, Morris, when that team is playing, they're fucking coming
to play.
Dialed. Vancouver's, I know we were just talking about them, but by the way, how do we have 6 games in hand on Edmonton? How have we played 6 more games in Edmonton? Like, that's just kind of crazy scheduling.
Yeah.
But we have a 12-point gap between second place, between Vegas. So
it's about to be 10 today after Vegas officially beats
Or who are they playing?
Oh, fuck. Who are they playing? They did lose to Carolina, though, on Saturday,
which is massive.
Yeah, that's huge. But they're playing another shit team.
They're playing San Jose. Yeah,
yeah, there we go. It's locks.
Yeah, that's wraps.
That was a free bet.
Yeah, that's wraps.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, this the standings are shifting in lots of different ways. But it's getting really exciting. Did you catch any of the Stadium Series games?
I didn't catch any of the Stadium Series games, but they did look absolutely just euphoric.
Yeah, they looked really cool. New York Rangers had an absolutely electric win over the Islanders.
Yep.
Scoring just like 10 seconds into overtime, coming back from 3-goal down. And it was absolutely crazy. The Islanders with one of the worst Stadium Series jerseys I've ever seen in my life. Just two colors and have it saying Isles across the front. It's like, all right, guys, I'm more than positive you could have done better than that. But
that looks like ass.
Yeah, it's just terrible, right?
Oh my God, dude. Oh, Jesus Christ. New York's looks fucking sick.
Yeah, the Rangers looks really cool.
Yeah, the Devils looks good. The Flyers looks good. Oh, just get the Islanders away from my fucking face.
They can't do anything right when it comes to jerseys, I think. Like whenever they do reverse retro jerseys, they just take away a line on the jersey and it's like, this is our reverse retro. And it's like,
this looks like a early Fanatics trying to do an Oilers jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know those Costco Canucks jerseys where it says like Canucks at the bottom? Like that's what Islanders jersey is.
That is ass.
Yeah, it's pretty trash. So,
oh my God.
But no, the Stadium Series, I think the outdoor games they've kind of overdone it, but because I really liked how special the Winter Classic was, because it was like the only one that was, you know, outdoor game of the year, and it was like that much more special. But now with all these Stadium Series games, like, it's not really money. Doesn't have the same effect. But yeah, revenue talk, like money talks, it's the reason. But I think Chicago and St. Louis are the next Winter Classic next year.
Mm.
Can't say I'm exactly a fan of it. I would have show some team with a bit more star power to be in it. Maybe like Colorado playing Minnesota kind of thing.
And let that be known.
I would even get like Edmonton against like an East Coast team or something. Edmonton and Buffalo or something. Like,
do a real star-studded battle, man.
Yeah. Like, if you want to grow the game, try to do a Winter Classic with the best player. I mean, I guess growing the game, you have Bedard in the Winter Classic, but like, Chicago's also been there now.
Yeah.
Like, this Winter Classic's going to clip them as
double digit almost, right?
No, like, just, I think they're fifth Winter Classic, but it's only.
Is it only fifth?
There's only been 18 of them. And like, I think the first one was.
Majority.
I think the first one was in 2009.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty ass.
So Chicago's been in five of them. So, yeah, pretty absurd. But that's all we really got here. Hayden, where can the people follow you?
On Instagram and X at Hayden_Barton.
You can follow me on Instagram at Jevin.Lefave, on Twitter at JevinLefave. Find everything for the show on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LeftSideHeavy_. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Peace. Well, you say that we're in the right place. Do you know it?